And the Terry Rose song.
All right, make sure, I think I sent attendance around already, just make sure. Supervisor Kubicki gets that. I have 6 o'clock. We'll go ahead and call the Human Services meeting to order. Are there any citizens' comments tonight? Any citizens wishing to speak? Please step up. State your name and address for the record.
Chairman Stock, rest of the committee, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of Jennifer here, her appointment to the CDSO. I've known Jennifer for quite a long time now, both in my capacity as a Veteran Services Commissioner through the American Legion Post 21, and also as a veteran. I have several claims currently with the VA that Jennifer has helped me file those claims. I had the opportunity to see her in action in that office, and what I can say is that Jennifer is dedicated to these veterans. She's dedicated to making sure that their claims are filed as timely as possible. She spends I don't know how many hours at that office. I know I've been out and about and gotten a call from her at 7 o'clock at night about my claims. So I know she's dedicated to that office. She wants that office to run as smoothly and as efficiently as possible. And I'm excited personally about her getting the opportunity to make that happen, to make that Veterans Service Office work for our veterans. We get not just for filing claims with the VA, but she also deals with so many other things with the veterans, whether they're about to get evicted, or they're gonna be homeless, or whether their vehicles won't start and they're not able to get to work, or they don't have the gas money to get to work. Whatever the case is, whatever the emergency situation is, Jennifer is there, and she works as hard and as diligently as she can in order to make that happen for our veterans. And I think she's a great advocate for us, and I think she's gonna do a very good job of making sure that office runs. And I'm excited for it, and I appreciate your time here, and I'm asking you for a yes vote to send her nomination on to the full county board. Thank you.
Thank you. Could I get you just to state your name and address first for the record?
Yeah, Kathy's got it. I wrote it all.
You did already? Okay, perfect. Yep. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Any other citizens wishing to speak? All right, seeing none, citizen comments are closed. My only comment, I was just talking with John Jansen here before the meeting. We may cancel the January 2nd Human Services meeting. I'm not sure if we will still be having a county board meeting that night as well or not, but just look out for an email from us. We'll make sure that's communicated with everybody as far as agenda items or whether or not it's canceled. With that, are there any supervisor comments or youth and governance comments? All right, seeing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from October 3rd, 2023.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Kirsten, second by Supervisor Stocker. Any discussion? All right, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the approval of the minutes passes. Next, approval of the joint budget meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Supervisor Juhas.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Stocker. Any discussion? Seeing none, youth and governance?
Aye.
And the rest of the committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, approval of the joint budget meeting minutes passed. All right, now moving on to number 6, resolution to approve the reappointment of Eula Payne Williams to serve on the Commission of Aging and Disability Services.
Thank you, I'll handle that one. As you mentioned, this is a reappointment for Ms. Eula Payne Williams to serve on that commission. She has been an active member, has made 4 out of the 6 meetings, with her 2 misses being excused due to health reasons. So we had asked this committee's approval to support the resolution and have her replaced on the commission again.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, I got a motion by Supervisor Gentz, second by Supervisor Kibicki. Any discussion? Seeing none. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Rest of the committee?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, passes unanimously. I will pass this around. Item number 7, resolution to approve the reappointment of Jim Schmidt to serve on the Veterans Service Commission.
Thank you. Once again, this is a reappointment for Mr. Schmidt. He is an active member in the veterans community, is currently the chair of our Veterans Service Commission, and is an active participant in that meeting, and I'd ask this board support his reappointment.
Move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion to approve by Supervisor Gentz, second by Supervisor Gersten. Any discussion? Seeing none. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Rest of the committee?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, passes unanimously. I will pass this around as well. All right, on to number 8, resolution to approve the appointment of Jennifer Blasey to serve as the Director of Veterans Services.
Thank you. I would hope that the committee supports this resolution. Ms. Blasey, who is here tonight, along with several members from our veterans service organizations throughout the county in support of her appointment. She was hired by Kenosha County in 2013, worked her way into the position of Assistant Director of the Veterans Office in 2016. And has held that position prior to being appointed interim County Veteran Service Officer, most recently by Executive Kirkman. She is a veteran of the U.S. Army and holds a Master of Arts degree in education, and is here this evening for any questions you may have. So Jennifer? Yeah, have a seat.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Anything you'd like to, go ahead and anything you'd like to say?
I'd like to say that the office is a very busy office. We have our 2022 economic impact was over $121 million to the Kenosha County. We average over 15,000 calls per year. We have about, this year we've had over 2,000 walk-in clients. We filed over 544 disability and pension claims, in addition to 182 appeals. We're a very busy office. We have people, a presence on the Veterans Treatment Court with Racine County, the Caregiver Coalition with the ADRC, in addition to the Emergency Services Network. We have a presence on the Emergency Services Network also.
Awesome. Any other questions from the committee? Supervisor Kibicki?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
All right, motion by Supervisor Kibicki, second by Supervisor Gersten. I do have just a quick question. I know it was brought up in our budget meeting. Is the department currently tracking the number of cases that we're processing? I know you typically reference the dollars that brought to Kenosha County, but is just with you taking on this role, is that something that we can do, are doing, rolling out? I know it is a little bit complicated, but can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, so for instance, this year, this year we filed 585 disability pension and service-connected death claims, in addition to 242 appeals. So we are tracking those numbers. The numbers, okay. I mean, if you're talking about the dollar amount for each case, that's a little more difficult.
I think what was brought up in the discussion, I think that would be helpful, is if we are looking at the number of maybe veterans contacts to the department, somebody comes to the department and asks for help, and then depending on where you send them, it would be interesting to know how many veterans were serving in the community, and if that can somehow be tracked in that way. I don't know if the county has systems in place, but that we can kind of just kind of keep track of start to finish where we, veterans that come in, point them in the right direction, whether it's a referring out or get them help within the office, and maybe seeing if we could just kind of track that so we can make sure that we are just able to track that type of thing. So any other questions? Awesome. All right. I guess we'll move now to the vote. Youth and Governance, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay. The rest of the committee?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. It passes unanimously. All right, resolution to approve the appointment of Lori Plummer to serve as the Director of Division of Health Services.
Thank you. I'll start this evening. Ms. Plummer is here to answer questions. Just to give you some background, she was initially hired as a temporary employee during our pandemic response. She is a nurse by training, but because she did such a wonderful job and was available and meeting the needs of our community at that time, when a position opened up on April 19, 2021, she was appointed Clinical Service Manager for the Division of Health. And since April of 23, has assumed the duties of Interim Director of Health Services here in Kenosha County. Her background, she's previously held positions as Emergency Services for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, a Senior Project Manager for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, and a Clinical Service Manager, as I mentioned, for Kenosha County. So I ask this commission's approval for appointment to serve as our Director of Health. And she is here this evening for any questions.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Anything you'd like to share?
Yes. John mentioned a bit about my background, but a couple of things first. I wanted to just thank those of you who came and wanted to learn a bit more about me. I appreciated your time. As John said, I'm a nurse by background. I worked in large healthcare organizations my entire career on either clinical leadership and or IT leadership. I was in between jobs when the pandemic hit, and I know that at that time it was early on yet. There was a lot of need for nurses, so the first job I got offered was as a temporary employee for Kenosha County. One of the first people I met was Kathy. and I worked there for a while and started giving vaccine, and then a position as Clinical Services Manager opened up. I was offered the position, and then as this opportunity became available, it intrigued me and I wanted to stay and offer my services as the new health officer. I do have a Bachelor of Science in Nursing and a Master's in Healthcare Administration.
Awesome, thank you. Supervisor Gearson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move approval.
Second.
Okay, motion to approve, second by Supervisor Juhas. Any discussion?
I have a few questions. I sent them to, just so you all know, I sent them to her so that she could prepare answers.
Excellent.
And be ready. So from your, just, you know, looking back, from your training and experience, did the CDC make mistakes in the handling of the COVID outbreak, in your opinion?
You know, I think in hindsight, it's more recognizable. Okay. I think early on, you know, I mean, I'm from the medical field, so, you know, I believe in science. We've used the CDC before and recommendations. I think that as we learned more, in hindsight, it's easier to look back and say perhaps we could have done things a different way. I mean, I personally think that people have a right to choose, and I think what we did gain through our experience is that we have a tool set right now that if you have COVID or if you want to protect yourselves more from COVID, there are options. So hard to say exactly, but I think we were dealing with a novel virus and people were dying in the beginning, so we just weren't sure. Just follow the science as we learn more.
Then at the national level, were previously considered respected experts kept out of the discussion regarding the handling of COVID?
Yeah, I'm not certain, and I'm not an expert. So, you know, at that time, what we were doing, whether I was at Fredert before I came here or here, is just following CDC recommendations and then following local, federal, state, and local level options.
Are you, as Kenosha's health department, required by law to follow the CDC recommendations?
We are not required by law.
Okay.
I as a health officer, am held to a standard that I have to investigate all communicable diseases. I would say if the CDC recommendation turned into a federal law, and it came down to the state level, It would be necessary for me to follow that.
Sure.
But I certainly wouldn't make independent decisions on my own.
Do you see that has the handling of COVID led to an increased distrust of our healthcare system?
I think to some degree, yes.
What can be, because there's a deep divide in the public over this, what can be done to bring people together?
You know, even today, even on any state meeting I'm on with other health officers in our region, we just don't even really talk about the pandemic anymore because it's over and it's, life is, as we live with the flu and every other virus. Like I said earlier, I think there's tool sets that we have that can lend itself for personal choice. I would say from my perspective, after being in the department for a while, our work, I mean, I think the concentration now on our work and what we can and can't do, as an example, through the community health assessment and the community health improvement plan, I think if we concentrate on the services that we can provide to the community, it slowly just, I mean, takes away what we all had to live through and focuses now on the good that we can do for the community.
Okay. Are the surgical masks that were so prevalent fine enough to stop the virus from passing through?
You know, I'm not an expert. I know many people believed in wearing them for their safety, especially based on, you know, if they were immunocompromised or had other health conditions. But I don't know for sure.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Stockner. Any other supervisors? I did just have a couple points I wanted to touch on. Just from your point of view, what do you see the role as the health department? Obviously, COVID shined a big spotlight on what the health department does. So, and there was a lot of confusion about how much power it has, what power it doesn't have. Would you be able to just kind of elaborate on what you, as the leader of this department, what you see the role is? And should, you know, another version of COVID come in the future, what you see its job to do?
As far as a health officer, I have statutory requirements to investigate. We, and I, as an oversight of the department, have statutory requirements, Chapter 252, to investigate any communicable disease. As a matter of fact, if it's a Category 1, which COVID was, we have to respond within 24 to 48 hours. I do not have a statutory requirement to close schools, and I don't have a statutory requirement or statutory authority to close any businesses. There's state statutes that every health officer has to follow, and we talk about them quite a bit at the local level and at the state level. If we ever had that sort of a pandemic again or something like that again, I mean, every day there was talk at the local level, the state level, the federal level. My duty certainly would be to follow any rules that there are and follow any guidelines that there are with respect to whatever we're dealing with.
I think and just a key point, and I'm pleased to hear that, you know, that what you just said, just keeping in mind, you know, I think education should be a huge, it already is,
yes,
but focusing on educating the public, you know, when,
yeah, absolutely,
when something comes through,
yes,
you know, I believe the job should be, the health department should be, do its best to take whatever information is out there, educate the community,
yes,
so that they,
yes,
in turn can make their own decisions. Obviously, there's going to be statutory stuff that comes in. But just make sure that we're educating and then letting, you know, our constituents make,
absolutely,
those decisions for themselves. On another note, what are some, you know, obviously you've been in this interim position about 6 months now, or, okay. Looking forward the next 2 to 3 years, what are some goals that you have for the department? What are some things that you see that you would like to implement?
Yeah, one of the things that I've concentrated on is all the programs and services that we currently offer. And, you know, as they go through and cycle through a grant or a contract, is that a service that we should continue? So I'm learning, you know, I had the privilege of having this clinical services line for a while, so I know that area, but I've now had to take time, or have taken time, to work with the other two areas that we provide services for, which is population health management and environmental health management. So we've got close to 70 employees and more than 60 programs. So it's just taking some time for me to study what the strategic sort of goal for us should be in the next several years. Part of the work is already being done is out of our community health assessment and community health improvement plan process. So we know those are areas that we're targeting. But continuing, you know, I mean, we have valuable programs in all of the areas. So one of my roles really is to make sure that we're completing the work through the requirements, and that is that the most appropriate thing that we should be concentrating on.
Excellent. I don't have anything further. Any other supervisors have any questions you'd like to ask?
I just have one more. When we sat down, I asked very similar questions to this, and your answers tonight seem to be a little softer than the clarity that you gave me. Is there a reason for that?
Do you have any
example? The masks.
Yes.
You seem to be very clear that they didn't provide much protection.
If that's the opinion that you got, I didn't mean that. I believed that they provided protection.
Scientifically, I'm talking about the
yes.
looking.
Yes.
You believe they do?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you still?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Any other supervisors? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and take a vote. We do have a motion and second, right? Okay. Perfect. Youth and governance, how would you vote?
Aye.
All right. The rest of the committee?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
All right. The appointment passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to item number 10, I had asked Rebecca Dutter and John Jansen, in light of the conversations that the county board has been having with the possibility of the casino moving into town, I thought it would be beneficial to our committee just to have a brief discussion about what the in the finance committee meeting, I know we had talked with Patty had shared some numbers about where they were planning on allotting a certain amount of money and where they anticipated the needs to be. So I thought it would be helpful if they could kind of elaborate on that, a little bit more on that, to our Human Services Committee, since we have deferred the vote and we have a little bit more time to digest the information and discuss. So, you know, if I'll let them present it, and then any of the supervisors here tonight that would have questions in light of just the impacts that potential casino could bring to our community, and making sure that we're more or less just steering the department, making sure that we are looking out for all the potential needs that would be needed by our department. So I'll let John take it off from here.
Sure, thank you. I know everybody on the county board received a document from Patty Merrill that kind of laid out where the dollars are, best guesstimate on our needs and dollars. So from the Human Services Department, the Sheriff's Department, and Public Works. So focusing on, of course, Human Services, when we were asked to come up with where we thought our needs were, certainly we saw potential needs in health, the environmental section when it comes to inspections and maintaining healthy restaurants and clean swimming pools if there's a hotel over there. We thought that with that additional work would probably add into not necessarily one FTE just to do that, but would add more responsibilities, which means we would request another FTE in environmental for sanitarian work. A public health nurse, if there is an increase, some sort of communicable disease outbreak or anything along those lines, immunizations. So we added a public health nurse to that list as a possibility. One economic support worker, meaning if the impact of the casino led to folks losing income and having to go on to public aid. We would need help in processing those folks. And then we also added positions for our crisis unit, which we contract with Kenosha Human Development Services to provide that service for us. And we put down four. You know, all this is, as you said, anticipation or our best guess at the time. Certainly recognizing that people may have some crisis situations, whether that's an addiction to gambling or alcohol or drugs or losing a lot of money and not knowing what to do and becoming desperate. So certainly building that out. These are not things that we would at all recognize day one if the casino opened. It'd be a process. And if the money does flow our way, some of that money could change. It may not that we need that area of like a public health nurse, but maybe need somebody else in our behavioral health management area. So having that ability and flexibility to do that. We also put in money for a half-time adult protective service worker. If there's any type of cases relating to financial fraud or excuse me, exploitation, thank you, of our older folks when it comes to the gambling. And also we put in money for emergency housing, food, things along that line. If somebody really hit the skids due to some sort of addiction related to it. And then we put in money for institutes, meaning if folks are in significant crisis and need hospitalizations, we'd like some money set aside to help pay for those costs. So that was our best way to address it at the time, recognizing that we view these dollars as being, if approved through the IGA, certainly flexible enough for us to meet whatever that community need as it develops, as the casino rolls out. I think on the plus side, and this didn't come from us, but certainly we support it through negotiations, is the $2.6 million set aside for the human service building, the new building, and able to offset some costs there. So that was our thoughts at the time, kind of still what we're thinking. We've called around. Rebecca's done some work calling around to some other counties that have casinos, and they don't get a lot of money directly back to them, just the way those were developed at the time. So we see this as an opportunity to help offset any potential issues that would come our way. Good. So any questions on any of that or comments, thoughts?
Supervisor Gatz.
I have to apologize to the committee and to you. I'm a little bit behind speed. I was a little tied up when all this was going on. So you came up with a dollar number of things that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like $970,000 listed on there.
And I'm working my way through the IGA. Is this money in there?
So the way that the IGA is constructed is the county would get a percentage of that win. These items were items that we identified to make sure that the estimates for the net win were high enough to cover what we anticipated our costs would be. So the list that, if Mr. Jansen gave you the list that I emailed to the board, it identifies public safety needs, public human services needs, as well as some like one-time costs, which are listed at the bottom, some of which are public works needs. The items that are listed from human services and public safety would be covered with that net win payment based on the estimates that we had. So I also sent out income projections of revenues we would receive. If you don't have that, I can give you a copy of that as well. So you can look that over as you're looking at the IGA. So the IGA speaks to things like net win. It speaks to tribal sales tax that they will assess on non-gaming revenue, and we get 75% of that until year, I'm sorry, I don't have it from me, I think it's until year 9, and in year 9, that goes down to 25%, but our net win goes up to 1.33% from 1%. The portion from tribal sales tax does have some restrictions on it. It has to be used towards infrastructure, but as you know, our CIP always has infrastructure needs in it so that those can be used towards those at that time. I know one of the concerns that was raised was like the traffic impact analysis that we should be getting from the tribe. The traffic impact analysis, if it identifies things that need to be done before the casino is built, then the tribe has to take care of those. Those don't come from that tribal sales tax number. That that's future infrastructure needs that we would have.
Again, I apologize, is it in the IGA, are they gonna take care of any of those? Or does it say we're doing this study and we're gonna take care of it?
They spoke about that in meetings.
Okay, because I was gonna ask for traffic and infrastructure, law enforcement, mental health, economic development, and environmental. And so, I mean, maybe I should sit down with you first and go over what we have. But, I mean, these are questions that we shouldn't be rushing into this thing without knowing what the impact or where we're gonna be left holding the bag with this stuff is. So while I might or might not support the casino, I do have to look out for Kenosha County. And I have a concern that we didn't get all this information upfront. We were asked to vote on it before this information came out. So I will have to call you and set up a time and we'll have to get together. But I do have some big concerns over what information is out there, what studies, what reports, you know, what the financial impact is gonna be going down the road. So, thank you, thank you.
Any other supervisor comments? Supervisor Stocker?
As you look at this, what's the likelihood of needing this, all this stuff that the casino's gonna provide?
It's really hard for me to predict that at this point in time. I mean, I you know, is a casino going to be growing if it makes more money and adding the hotel and things like that? Will that add a little more work in one area versus the other? Possibly. This is just if we were going to have an impact on any of these areas, this is what it would require for us to fill. So that's where we came up with the total is, it's not 997, that's a bunch of different columns. But, so that's where we came up with these figures to try to.
No, my question is there's gonna be supposedly more crime. There's gonna be people that are gambling beyond their ability, which is supposed to, you know, fall in your lap. Have you looked at the likelihood of that happening?
So when we, and Rebecca maybe can speak to this a little more because she reached out to some of the counties, but a lot of them do not get money directly to help support any type of gambling counseling or addiction. That goes to the Wisconsin Council on
Problem gambling.
So they have a pot of money that distributes that, I think, out to the communities. Or a way, they have cards, so they probably have them in the casino. If you have a problem, dial one, whatever the number is, right? And they'll hook you up with that service. So we didn't look at that or didn't have time to look at any type of metrics on what's the percentage of gambling addicts does a casino bring or cause or anything along those lines. So I'm not versed enough to give you that information.
All right, thank you.
Supervisor Uhas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John, has there been any discussion about human trafficking, prostitution, as far as any help for people who may be experiencing it? I mean, we're right on the state line. We already know there's an issue with human trafficking in Southeast Wisconsin. We also know what comes with casinos. Is the county looking at any programs, any help for people who may be in that situation?
We did not necessarily build that into here, but that certainly could be part of these dollars that are circling through here. I know we do have and participate on a human trafficking committee with law enforcement, so those discussions are ongoing. How law enforcement look to address that, I would have to defer to them. And I don't know.
Well, one of the things that when I called around, so I talked to the folks in Parable in South County, and then I also talked to the people in Milwaukee County. One of the areas that I quickly learned from them is it's really hard to know the impact of people that have issues at the casino. So they come in through human services for other issues. So they come in because they're, you know, suicidal. So they're coming in through the crisis system. Or they don't have the money to pay rent, so they're coming in because they need rental assistance, or they don't have, you know, they don't have food because they gambled those monies away. The part of the gambling is kind of the secondary issue when we deal with the first part of it. So I think if we're talking about human trafficking, we're probably going to be people coming to us that are telling us that they're experiencing either domestic violence or they have housing related issues, and we have identified some pots of money for that. But that is definitely an area that I think we need to look at a little closer and potentially, you know, a lot of this money, again, like John said, we're not sure how it's going to fit
dollars for dollars, so there might need to be some flexibility as far as having an increased availability to help people who are victims of human trafficking.
And I'm glad that you guys have that on your radar and you're keeping that in the back of your mind, because I think if anyone thinks that's not going to be a part of a casino coming, you're sadly mistaken. It's prevalent. I mean, it's everywhere, even without a casino.
Yes.
And it's a growing problem. It's affecting a lot of people. And in the corner where we're at, we are a major hub for that type of behavior. So I'm glad that Kenosha County has it in their back of their minds and yes, that they're looking at ways in the future to address it.
So our ask minus the, and it is $997,000. And in that, as I said, this is money that if it comes our way, we will direct it to where those needs are. So the list we have today could change in 6 years from now if the casino's here. It may be something totally different, but these funds would help address whatever those needs are and however they're walking into our door or into our system if it becomes that way. And then that's in addition is a $2.6 million for the building. So that's separate monies, so.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay. Any other supervisor comments? I'd just like to add, I'm glad we're having this discussion as a committee. I think we should continue this even on the board floor too. My concern is the projected winnings from the casino is what is fun, is where this, how this money is funneling down. So they're projecting to bring in X amount of dollars, and of that we're getting 1.3% or whatever the percentages are. But you know, my thought goes to, you know, we're putting this IGA together. What if they fall short of what they're projecting? We're still only getting 1.3% of their, and I'm just going to assume they're not being overly conservative in their numbers. I'm just going to assume. Maybe they are, maybe they are. I don't know. But we're locking ourselves into that 1.3%. Just maybe to Patty, I know when I was reading through the IGA, we are getting minimum payments aside from the 1.3%.
Minimum payments are if the net win payment is not higher than the minimum, we would get the minimum.
Okay.
If the net win exceeds the minimum, we get just the net win. The net win payments, there is an Exhibit D in mm-hmm. the IG that I sent out later that kind of lays that out. So the one example shows that they made quarterly payments of their net win, and at the end of the year, that totaled $300,000. By February 14th of the following year, they have to make up that difference because their minimum is $500. So they'd have to pay us the $200. And then further down the line, the minimum actually goes up to $1 million. And then I have an example of those net win payments, and they come up higher than that number, so they don't have to pay us anything in addition to that. So the net win, the minimum payment is like that base that we would get if the net win doesn't exceed that. But if the net win exceeds it, then the minimum doesn't come into play.
So does the department feel like it could cover its costs? I mean, we're there's a few positions we will probably add on once the casino gets going and add that into the budget. Will that minimum payment be sending enough money to the human services departments to cover those? Or are we going to be coming up short if all we have is a minimum payment?
It's difficult to say. One of the things that has been mentioned before is when the casino goes on board, and Director Jansen mentioned this as well, casino goes live, we're not going to hire all these physicians anticipating this need. We're going to evaluate these things as it moves forward. There will be ebbs and flows. There's nothing that says human services is going to get $997,000. If human services needs $1.5 million, then that's what goes, these things will come through the budget. So the revenue will come into the budget and the expenditures will go out of the budget, and they'll be evaluated throughout the year as the budget request is made for the next year, saying these are the areas where we have seen need. Same thing with law enforcement. They anticipated additional deputies for traffic control on the highway. They anticipated additional detectives for the human trafficking, for financial crimes. They anticipated a new canine to do bomb sweeps of a concert venue. I mean, those were things that they identified. Are those things going to happen on day one? No. Will the deputies potentially be hired before any human services probably because the traffic will be one of the first things that's going to happen. So again, those needs will be identified, and those funds will be available to offset those as they come forward. And if we were to not need any of this, then we still had the money coming in, they'd be used for other purposes. Again, flowing through the budget, brought to the board for approval through the budget process.
Okay. Another question I had, I know a lot of casinos, I'm not sure if it's a state law or if it's just casino policy as far as if they identify a problem gambler, somebody that is not supposed to be there, has lost a certain amount of money. I don't know what the standards are. How does the, what authority does the Human Services Department have with this, the way this IGA is crafted as far as inspecting and holding them accountable to making sure that we're not enabling problem gamblers, or if somebody is violating the policy, or making sure that the casino is not taking advantage of people, I guess is the long and short of it. Does our department have a way to check in on that and making sure that that's not happening? I guess, who's holding the casino accountable for those type of?
I don't think that falls under Human Services at all. I'm not aware of it.
Okay, so maybe a sheriff thing or?
Or a nobody thing.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a policing over that, so.
Well, unless they came, let's just hypothetically say that this person lost all of their money and they threatened suicide at the casino. Our crisis was involved, they were detained, then we would have some legal authority for a certain period of time, which the courts oversees, to be able to work with their problems. So that would probably be the only way that I can think that.
Yeah, and that's working with the person, not the casino.
That is absolutely individual and not with the casino.
Yep.
And then from a Human Services, as far as our inspections, food, you know, the sanitary, will that just continue as if it was a regular business? And I believe I asked this on the board floor, but it would just go through, if they were not complying, it would have to go through a different process to get it resolved, like through the courts? Was that my understanding?
Based on the food code.
Okay.
That they agree to. Restaurants operate or are under different codes based on if they're higher complexity or less complexity. So yes, they'd have to follow the food code if they weren't meeting the food code. We can give them time to fix it without officially shutting them down until they fix the problem. It just kind of depends what the issue is.
Okay. All right, any other questions? Supervisor Gentz?
Well, he brings up some good points, Patty, and I think that when we look at, we've asked the county to come up with what could go wrong, what we might need. We have some anticipated ideas for those, and we have dollars for those. And so I would think that the minimum that we would get, based on what Supervisor Stock just said, because we don't have any control over who wins, who loses, how much there is of a win and a loss. I would think that the minimum we get should cover what we're looking at for what these expenses could be. I mean, otherwise, I mean, what you're saying is, oh, next year in the budget, we'll just have to ask for money. Well, if we're not getting the money from there, where are we then going to get the money from at that point in time? All you're doing is saying down the road, we're going to be looking for this money. And again, I'm not looking for a reason not to support a casino. I'm looking out for Kenosha County. And I mean, we're getting a lot of, yeah, we'll have to play it by ear down the road. I'm not sure that I'm all that comfortable with that. I mean, X amount of dollars, X amount of deputies, X amount of, I mean, did they offer the city to build a substation right across the street for their law enforcement? I mean, there's, why did they need to do that? I mean, there's just so many questions out there that I don't want financially us to be looking back in the rearview mirror and saying, well, now what are we going to do?
I can't speak to the city at all.
I didn't expect
the city negotiated their own.
Yeah, I didn't expect
it. Yeah, what they felt their needs were. Again, the operation at the casino we anticipated would ramp up slowly, and the need from the county would ramp up slowly as well. That minimum payment being $500,000 for the first 8 years, they will not be. We don't expect them to be operational until year three. So as things ramp up, that minimum payment's at the $500,000, then it jumps up to $1 million. So that's as the need. So if the net win isn't high enough, that means they don't have enough people gambling, or everybody's winning.
That ain't gonna happen.
No, it's gonna be less gamblers.
Business going on, and if there's not as much business going on, these things that we're talking about are less as well. So it's kind of, there isn't a crystal ball. There is not. But we did feel that the net win at the 500,000 would be sufficient for the initial period and bumping it up to a million, and then that is also adjusted for CPI going forward after that.
Yeah, see, that's what makes me nervous. Banking on a net win is like us gambling. So I mean, we're banking on gambling to get, make sure that we have what we consider could be our expenses paid. I mean, like you just said, we don't know how much they're gonna get from a net win or a net loss, you know, or how that's gonna go. But we do have ideas what our costs could be as this gets worse. I mean, we may have some of this stuff needing deputies and stuff like that, whether they're making their net win or loss, no matter what.
Right.
And then that, then where are we gonna come and say, well, it's not in the IGA, you guys didn't cover that. You know, I mean, that's what makes me nervous about it. So I'll look forward to getting some of these answers, but I mean, I just don't know how this is. The last, I was a part of the last two casino rollouts, and there was much more information and much more numbers and transparency given than I'm seeing now, and that makes me nervous. So, thank you.
I did want to add one thing. I did have a conversation with Rebecca. Would you be able to just touch on what we talked about as far as with the casino moving into town, it's going to create additional needs for interventions, and we talked about the gambling counseling for, and we talked about either bringing in a person that is specialized in that, or you also talked about spreading that out. Could you just touch on that just
sure.
a little bit?
So I didn't, I'll be honest with you, I did not know much about gambling addiction when I kind of went down this rabbit hole, and I was under the assumption that there were, you know, most of the gambling was met by other needs that we saw. Like, again, they came into our system differently. But once we started to look into it a little bit, there are tried and true or some evidence-based programs that work well for people who have problems gambling, kind of along the lines of our medication-assisted treatment programs. There are some programs like that. You do have to have a lot of training and working with gamblers, because it is a different type of addiction than one that you're, you know, have any other type of addiction. So we did talk, yes, about whether that needed to be a person. You know, is there someone through our crisis unit that would have to be, you know, an addictionologist that could help work through these problems? Or would this be something that we had to provide additional trainings to our staff to work with, especially for crisis response?
Okay. All right. Any other comments from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, in our discussion today, I heard a couple supervisors say that they would like more information. First of all, there's no need to apologize. I'm happy to sit in a meeting and schedule any meeting, because now is our chance to get more information. So anyone on the committee that wants to do that, I'm happy to have more scheduled. And if we want to schedule special meetings of this committee, I'm open with that too. If there are any questions, hopefully they were fielded, and the staff can bring those back to us at future meetings. I know we've postponed this until the second meeting in January, and maybe between that time and this time we can get the information get more information from the tribe. But again, I'm willing to sit in this committee or at other committees to answer, get as many answers as we would like on this subject matter. So, and with that, I yield.
Thank you. Supervisor Gersten.
Thank you, Supervisor Gersten, for that offer. I know at the last board meeting, I brought up the concerns from the Village of Pleasant Prairie and their administration and village board, the three topics, the stormwater, the additional police officers that they're looking at needing that hasn't been addressed in the IGA, and then also the funding for their three schools. Do you have any updates on those three items?
So on the schools, I know that in the public documents, there is money going from the city to the school. So that's in the proposal. I think it's $500,000.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So that.
To city schools.
To
And the three schools that you mentioned.
I thought it was the whole unified. It's for the whole unified. So, is that correct?
That is correct.
So that's not just schools, unified schools in the city, it's all unified schools.
Okay.
And then also, there's a $250,000 going to west of the I, also for the school system. And the primary purpose for that is because of the tax base impact. So, I also did interact with my village president and with the village quite a bit on this. And I think what we should do is if the city does want this business and does approve this, what we need to do then, and Pleasant Prairie and Village of Summers probably should work together on this with the sheriff and with your police department. And we should look at the funding that's flowing from this and the tax base impact that's flowing from this. And we should look at the traffic issues and other public safety issues and make sure they get addressed. Now, I know in this analysis, the sheriff looked at this, and if my understanding is right, they looked at the pieces that are in the county that affect the sheriff department, not the city. So that would include the Village of Summers and Pleasant Prairie. And, but we have, one of the things that we're looking at now is this new $300,000 grant that we have, and we have this new safety committee for the roadways. So we should look at that and then dovetail this into that. But the way I'm looking at it is, and this is my fourth time, so this is, I think I heard one supervisor say, this is the third time through this, my fourth time through.
All right, you got me by one, okay.
Whatever. If we have money, if we have more money to deal with it, that's beneficial. If we end up with no money or less money, then we have less money to deal with the issue. And if the state, or if the city, without our approval of the IGA, is able to get approval at the federal and state level, and then we negotiate after all of that is done, I'm confident we would get less money. So if we have more money to deal with the issues in Pleasant Prairie and the Village of Summers, then we are able to do more. If we have less money, we're able to do less, so.
But that still doesn't answer my question as to the law enforcement with Pleasant Prairie. Pleasant Prairie has their own police department.
Right.
They weren't asked or included in this. The city was included. You, representing Summers, you contract through the sheriff's department. Paris contracts through the sheriff's department. All of the counties contract through the sheriff's department. Pleasant Prairie is the only municipality that has their own police department and doesn't contract through the sheriff's department. And they were left out and not even at the table when this is going to affect them, with them being directly on the interstate and on the state line. We have so much crime right now going through the village, from Milwaukee going south, people doing chases, different things. It's going to impact that department. And I don't think it's fair to the taxpayers of Pleasant Prairie that they have to have their officers being pulled off the street to protect them when they're paying their tax dollars to help out a casino. That's the concern. And the police chief has made that known to the county exec. The administration has given me that email that I read on the last board meeting, and I'm hoping that's addressed before our meeting in January.
Before we take this too much further, I would like to keep the topic on human services impact. So if you have, you know, if there's human services impact for Pleasant Prairie, but before we get on to discussions about sheriff's department and stuff, I would kind of like to keep the topic on human services.
Human services.
So if you have anything specific for, in that realm. But otherwise, I would like to keep that top, keep on talk, because that's what we have on our agenda tonight, so. You have any?
No, I'm done, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So relative to human services, dealing with these issues, the thing I know is we do have an estimate in the analysis. And in addition to that, right now we have tax base that we get virtually nothing from. And if this does go forward with this $80 million we'll be getting paid, we will then get a couple million dollars from that tax base. And so the analysis shows that. So in addition to the specific dollar amounts that are shown in the analysis, we also have a couple million dollars. So what I would expect we need to do is we need to work with the local governments, Pleasant Prairie and the Village of Summers and the city, and we need to develop a joint safety plan, and we have this money. We need to use that to help fund the best interests of the community and the public safety. So, and I think Pleasant Prairie needs to be included in that discussion. That's, I sympathize with that and agree with that. So.
How does Pleasant Prairie contract with Kenosha County for health department like the city does, or they, do you have your own?
No, they're included under the county health.
Yes.
Okay, that's right. So, okay. So there would be some benefit to Pleasant Prairie as far as county health services. Okay. Any other supervisor comments? All right. Well, thank you very much for presenting for us. Again, to the committee, any further questions, feel free to send them over to any of our department heads. We do have a few weeks before this comes back up to the county board, so make sure to send those on so we can get any answers that we need. And thank you very much for the offers to Beerston. So I'm sure a couple of supervisors may take you up on that. All right. Any other business as authorized by law for the committee?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. By Supervisor Kubicki, second by Supervisor Gearston. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
All right. Motion, meeting is adjourned.
I don't think so.
Thank you for showing. Thank you very much. Nice,
John,
nice remarks. You. Nice remarks.
I think
Greg, Franco, how are you? Good.
I did have two more talks, but I did refer to passing. So I did say in the past, this is what we've done. That was public record. But it